This is Mythical.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The leaves are changing colors. There's a brisk chill in the air and restructured pork patties are back at McDonald's. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's McRib season. But why is there a McRib season at all? This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Eniady.
And Nicole, how do you plan on celebrating McRib season this year?
I don't plan on celebrating
What? Why
it.
Not?
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you had a McRib? Have you partaken?
Yeah, I've had a McRib here for the first time.
But you've never gotten a McRib fresh from McDonald's, eaten in your car, barbecue sauce dripping onto your gear shift.
I
want to be in the Altima right now.
Uh-huh.
That's right. That's a 2017 certified pre-owned Nissan Altima from Universal City Nissan.
Not
a sponsor.
No.
But what a nice dealership. They had an espresso machine that's pretty freaking rad.
I think most of dealerships do that now.
I think that's just a Universal City Nissan.
No.
But no, you've never eaten a McRib steaming from McDonald's.
I've never had a fresh McRib. I've had a set McRib.
That's a shame. That's a shame. How did you feel about the set McRib? I just want to try and...
It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. But again, there's something about mechanically processed pork in particular that just makes me feel a little bit odd.
Why? Even though
I know it's just a sausage. I know.
It's just a sausage.
I know. It's the ridges. It's the the way a McRib is shaped makes it feel weird when I eat it.
That's interesting because the shape is like a big part of the McRib lore, right? Like there's not a single rib to touch the McRib. It is
and
made.
That's fine. I get it.
But then
that.
To take that and instead of just making it like a disc, like a burger, right? Because that's, I'd argue that all fast food burgers are technically sausages as well.
Sure. I don't know about all that. But
well, I mean, it's ground meat that's just mixed with a bunch of preservatives, salt, sugar, et cetera. That's what a sausage is.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
And actually, that's what the inventor of the McRib, his name is Richard Mandigo. He was a meat scientist at University of Nebraska, Lincoln. And he doesn't say that he invented the McRib because he just invented the the meat processing process that is responsible for the McRib.
Okay.
Which is really fascinating to me. So they call it restructured meat technology.
Uh-huh, cool.
Which, it sounds very futuristic, but even when he has talked about it in interviews, he basically goes like, it's sausage making. He's like, the technology has been around. All he did was he took meat scraps, right?
Uh-huh.
Including, like, scalded stomachs and crap that they would have thrown away.
Wow.
And then he figured out a way to extract proteins out of it using salt and sugar.
He's so humble.
I thought you were going to say he's so hot.
No.
That Richard Mandigo is so hot right now.
I have no idea what he looks like, but his personality is probably golden.
But, I mean, it kind of shows you that, you know, as much as people kvetch about the reshaped meat products, it's like, this is a way that people have been using. Don't look up Richard Mandigo to see if he's hot, Maggie. That's
Shut
weird.
Up. I need this.
We don't judge meat scientists based on their looks around here.
Yeah, you don't know me.
God dang it.
Point is,
the McRib is just a sausage. A lot of people think it's disgusting. That's totally fine. But a lot of people obviously love it because it's a beloved seasonal item.
Again, I don't think the word disgusting is appropriate. I mean, it's cool. I think I like the way that McDonald's has made it so it's so, like, elusive, you know? Like, you can only get it for this period of time, just like the pumpkin spice latte a la Starbucks.
The pumpkin spice latte is a perfect example of... What is it, though, about fall that makes elusive items? Like, what makes fall such a special season for seasonal items?
Well, I believe that it's due to the consumerism of, like, life. I'm just kidding. I would have totally failed business school if I ever attended. I think it's because of the summertime. Like, summertime fun, like, crazy. Like, no one's doing anything. They're just, like, chilling, having
a good
time.
You have too much to do on your own devices.
Socializing.
Like, summer, we're not going to bother people.
Yeah, we're socializing.
Yeah.
We're having a good time. We're drinking our cold drinks. And then Starbucks is like, bam,
Yeah, this is like when people are getting like back to their house. So it's like a come down. You're on the come down from summer.
So true.
You know, it's just like you went to EDC and you're on that come down. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, ugh, I need some orange here. But anyways.
Have you been to EDC before?
No, I'd like to go one day. Me and Julie have talked a lot. We really want to be like 38-year-old ravers.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty good opportunity for us. Like have the full candy and everything.
Can I ask you a real question? How do you feel about people that take their babies to concerts and put the headphones on them? Like, that's like, I don't.
Find a damn babysitter. I don't know. Judging parents is weird. I don't have a kid. I don't know the exact. You know what I mean? But no, that makes me really uncomfortable. I don't like people who take children to restaurants. I don't like people who take children anywhere near me.
Mm.
If I'm at like a park, I was at a park the other day like playing basketball and there were kids around me and I was like, leave them at home. And then I realized this is the park where children are supposed to go. But I don't think children should be near me at all. I don't think I should be near children. Not for any, that sounds creepy. I just mean like I don't enjoy their company.
Josh, let's get back to the question at hand.
Why is the McRib seasonal?
Why is the McRib seasonal? It's not like they can't get that kind of stuff every single day of the year.
There's a little bit of argument that they can't get it every day of the year, but I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. It's McDonald's.
Yeah, but I mean, it has to do with just literally like price points and seasonality of pork trimmings because that's what they're made out of. So they're only.
Let's just run that back for a second. Seasonality of pork trimmings. Now. I didn't know that porks have a season like a cucumber or a tomato.
Think about it. They totally do. Well, not in that way. They have a consumption season. So think about like when are people eating barbecue the most, right?
Summertime.
Summertime, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're probably going to sell more racks of ribs than you are other parts of the pig to smoke on a barbecue.
That is very interesting.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I mean, ditto for, right, hams are preserved. So the ham comes from the hind quarter of a pig.
Sure.
A picnic roast, which a lot of these are used in McDonald's, comes from the front quarters of the pig.
Mm-hmm.
Ribs are obviously coming from the belly meats, and then bacon is another thing. Not the ribs, ribs coming from the rib meats. Why did I say that? Bacon is coming from the belly meats, which
but like
are,
the ribs are next to the belly, so I understand what you said.
It's kind of like my ribs are like above the belly.
Yeah,
I always
too.
Think about what my body would look like if you butchered me and cooked all my parts.
When you were explaining all the pork parts, you were touching parts of your own body, and I was like,
that's
my
what
eye
I
was falling, and I'm like,
I have my hams here, I have my picnic roast up on the shoulder, I got the titty meats, that's the brisket.
Oh, yeah,
that's the brisket right up there. but no, so I mean, certain things are seasonally the best way to think about this and where you see it most often in meat production is chicken wings. There's literally, you know, two wings per chicken and you got like some dude named Jeff sucking down 40 of them, you know, watching the Chargers lose in the AFC championship. I am also, we are all
we
Jeff.
We are all
on
Jeff.
My strategy for it is I just make like six flavors of wings and I have no other food. I have a couple bags of Doritos and I have like six flavors of wings and make hundreds of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so then what do you do with the rest of the chicken, right? Because there's going to be an outsized number.
Yeah, it's like, what would we do?
No,
we don't care.
We
what
certainly
do they
don't
do?
Care. Yeah, but like they, you know, have to ship extra chicken parts to China, right? We just tend to send our thighs and our legs over to China, and then breasts just end up. We always need chicken breasts because that's a huge thing in one chicken processing to make stuff like Tyson white meat boneless chicken
Anytizer
buffalo things, and those are friggin' delicious.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
My God, I could eat some Anytizers right now.
Do they like? Do they like? Like shove like salt water in the titties?
Yeah, they shove
a lot
of salt water in the titties. I know, that's why they're so good. They're so tender and juicy titties. Yeah. So point is, there are some seasonal demands for animal agriculture in that sense.
Got it, okay.
And there have been theories. McDonald's has never come out and said why the McRib's seasonal, but there are theories that it has to do with when pork prices.
I see a tweet that says from McDonald's, the actual official
the McDonald's?
Yes. They said there's a lot of mystery around why the McRib comes and goes. But to be honest, it's a local option based on consumer demand.
It used to be. That's not true anymore.
This was when's in 2017.
No, so it used to be a local option based on consumer demand. Which is why I don't think the pork price theory holds up.
Okay.
Because it used to be, I mentioned McRib season in the opener of this podcast.
Sure.
It didn't used to be a thing. McRib season now, it tends to come and go late October through early November. This year it started November 1st. And then some places will have it at random times. But that all has to do with the fact that McDonald's, they seem to be trying to corporately retrench to kind of like take some of the power away from the franchisees
and try and
enact more essentially just like global or at least national sort of programs to try and get everybody on the same page, on the same schedule, to keep supply lines very similar. So McRib, before, I think it was 2020, they only started doing this, an official McRib season. But before that, it was basically up to the individual franchisees on when they'd bring the McRib back, and they'd work with their local suppliers. Or not local, they'd work with, I believe, Lopez Foods is the supplier of the McRib patties. But they would work with them to get them in. And so nobody knew when the McRib was coming. It was just randomly. It would show up. Yeah. And there was even an app called the McRib Locator where you could literally just plug in your thing and it would like have anecdotal evidence. It was like Nextdoor or like the Citizen
app.
Can
I tell you something? I always thought like McRib season was like in November though.
I kind of did too.
I don't know why. And psychologically, I was like, oh, the McRib comes out like towards the end of the year, towards like before Thanksgiving.
And maybe there was that pattern that kind of existed in a de facto way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, now it's like pretty much written into code that's what's going to happen.
Cool.
And so I don't think the pork price thing necessarily holds up.
My question is like, how long is McRib season though? Like when does it start? When does it end?
It's like a solid 6 week run. So you're probably getting, you know, McRib about 10% of the year.
Like festival season.
It's just like festival. It's like wedding season, Nicole.
Oh.
I don't know when wedding season is.
No,
I eat a lot more
don't.
McRibs than I do go to weddings. I don't even eat them that often. I get like one McRib every McRib season. I go, that's a pretty good fast food sandwich. And then no part of me ever wants to like make a McRib a part of my daily diet.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like how many McRibs do you eat during like a typical McRib season?
Also, apparently McRib season is ending November 21st this year.
Oh, shoot. When does it start?
November 1st.
Oh, my God. There's no time, Josh.
When
There's no time.
When did it start, I believe, is the question. When did it start was November 1st.
Oh, my God.
My God, oh when my are we God. Recording this podcast?
When is this coming out? I
Where
it's
are
on the
we?
Third.
We're very confused.
What year is it?
No, I eat one McRib season every year. I eat one McRib season. I consume the whole season like Thanos. No, I eat one McRib every McRib season just to kind of remind me, and I think it is fun.
Nice.
But that said, I like really don't go to McDonald's very often. It's not my go-to fast food place of choice. I never crave McDonald's. I'll eat it if I'm like near one and eat food.
The first time I saw a McRib in the wild was when Ben, our director Ben, and just like plopped one down and he rolled his sleeves up, opened it, and went to town. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, it's McRib season, Nicole. And I'm
dude,
like,
yeah,
what
me
do
and
you
Ben
mean?
Went together.
I was like, what do you mean it's McRib season? Like, it was crazy.
We literally like, we had ordered pizza for lunch and I remember this day very fondly. Mm-hmm. We had ordered a pizza for lunch and Ben and I sat down. We're about to eat a bite of the pizza. And then we were both just like, hey, this is McDonald's down the street. It's McRib season. And we
That's
went
so
and we
funny.
Got large fry and a McRib and came back and ate that with our pizza.
Very silly. Very
It's
silly.
Like a fun excuse. It's like, you know, it's a hobby at this point. It's like, you know, going to the movies on Christmas. It doesn't really matter
nice.
What I'm seeing.
You're it's just doing it. It's ritual for
it's
you.
It's ritual. Yeah. That's McRib nice. Season for me.
Nice. Nice.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What other like seasonal things are you like into other than the pumpkin spice latte and the McRib?
Peppermint, baby. Give me the peppermint cream donut from Dunkin'.
Oh, I've never had it.
Oh, got it.
I'm just not a seasonal hoe. Can I say hoe? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can call yourself a hoe.
I'm just not a seasonal hoe. Like I don't, like, I've never been the person that's going to, like, line out outside of GameStop to, like, get a game or, like, line up to get the newest iPhone. Like, I've never been that person. Like, I've never had, like, a desire to always be the first one to try something. You know what I mean?
So what you're kind of describing right now is the idea of, one, you call it line theory.
Yeah, I guess.
The fact that if you don't let people into a club and you just let a line develop outside, people see that line, assume that there's a demand to get in, assume that they should be a part of that demand, and then jump in. And that's how you create, like, you know, artificial scarcity, demand via artificial scarcity in that way.
Okay.
And so you're just not into that.
I guess I'm just not into that.
What do you think it is about you?
I don't know. I guess it's in Farsi, it's called hosele. Like, I don't have the time, energy, capacity, emotions to even care about this.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. I just don't have, we say no hosts. The kids say no hosts.
That's cool.
Like, I'm not
that's
down.
So cool.
Like, I have no hosts. I guess it's just like, I just don't see the appeal. Like, okay, there's a lot of, like, why are you standing outside? There's probably like a bar like 2 feet away that's just as fun and just as lit. Like,
Man,
that's how I am.
I understand all that in theory, but yeah. I am someone who, if someone says, hey, it's only here for 2 weeks, and if I never wanted that in the first place, I'll be like, well, I gotta get it, so it's gonna go away.
Yeah.
I have, like, huge FOMO energy.
FOMO is the opposite of hosts. Like, I have FOMO. I have no hosts. You know what I'm talking about?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna start saying it. I can't wait for you to start saying, like, to me, like, Nicole, I have no hosts to, like, I'm gonna be like, hey, Josh, can you go, like, down the street to just, like, pick up this thing from Hobby Lobby? Just be like, I have no hosts. Like, you're going to start saying that. I know you are.
I hope I will. But no, so there's a lot. There's actually, God, it's a lot of seasonal things that come out. Monster Irish Coffee, I believe, was seasonal, but that's a great energy drink.
Hello. Peeps. What about the Shamrock Shake?
Oh, the Shamrock Shake.
I love. Okay.
I totally forgot about that.
The first time I had a Shamrock Shake, I was driving somewhere in Koreatown, and then I saw a big-ass banner on a bus that was like, Shamrock Shake, get it now at McDonald's. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to get a Shamrock Shake. So I like pivot left to like the closest McDonald's, and then I beeline, and I go inside. I never go inside of a McDonald's. Something compelled me to go inside. I was like, one Shamrock Shake, please. And then I got it, and then I tasted it, and I was like, oh my God, this is like edible toothpaste. It's so
it
good.
Is, but it has lime extract in it.
Yeah, you told
that's
me that.
That's the weirdest thing. It is lime and mint.
It was phenomenal. What an experience.
Not sour lime, just the extract to make it smell a little bit like lime. It smells like Skittles and tastes like mint.
Yeah, it's so incredible.
A delight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I understand the appeal of that more so than like the McRib. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I like the color. Maybe because I like mint chip ice cream. And I was like, oh my God, drinkable mint chip ice cream.
Yeah, it's bright. It's, yeah. You know, it's in your face.
I mean, that's what it is.
Festive for St. Patrick's Day. McDonald's is an Irish company when it comes
don't
down to it.
Don't care about that holiday.
I know, I don't
people
celebrate.
People love to go out and like party and drink on like St. Patty's Day. And I would rather like not go. Like,
yeah, I don't party on St. Patrick's Day out of apathy. I don't party on Cinco de Mayo out of being worried of called out for cultural appropriation.
I love partying on Cinco de Mayo, bro. Hell yeah!
I will just drink at my own leisure and often. And that's my version of partying. Drinking is not seasonal for me. That is year round. I don't have a problem. I drink socially about once a week. But when I do, you know, let's make sure it counts. Similar to McRib season.
Okay, I gotta
make sure
you.
It counts, God dang it.
What food on, like, a menu do you wish was seasonal that's not?
Ooh.
Do you have one of those where you're like, ugh, this makes no sense for me to be eating this in, like, March?
Yeah, I feel that. So one of the things about – one of the I don't know if I have one, so I'm going to stall.
Yeah, stall,
but
no, stall.
One of the things about the McRib that I believe – one of the reasons I believe the McRib is seasonal, if not the only reason, is the fact that absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
Sure.
And so many people who say they love the McRib – or love pumpkin spice lattes, whatever, if it were around the entire year, they would not care. They simply would not care. The McRib is a perfectly fine sandwich. I actually really enjoy it. I think it's other places have tried to do barbecue sandwiches. Arby's is doing one right now that's not great, and they're totally taking pot shots in the McRib. Like, we put real rib meat in ours. It's like, real
so
rib
what?
Meat? Real rib meat, if it's not cooked well, like, really sucks. There's a lot of, like,
so
cartilage
true.
And connective tissue.
Sticks
and
the bone.
Yeah, exactly. And McDonald's, they make a pretty good sandwich. The sauce, it's nice and vinegary. You got just the fresh onions and the pickles, a nice cakey toasted bun, snappy sausage-like pork patty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good sandwich. Nobody would care about it if it were around year-round. Nobody would be eating it nearly at the frequency they do. And so that's a thing that, what was I saying?
I think you're trying to answer my question, and the question is, what food do you think should be seasonal?
Chalupas. Why? Unclear. I just wish they were more special to me. I take them for granted.
Yeah.
Like, if they Crunchwrap, if the Crunchwrap Supreme was only, like, around for a month out of the year,
that'd be
I'd
bad.
Be eating them every single day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
But that's the thing that I do get year-round, and they're all still pretty special.
Yeah. You know what it is for me? KFC pot pie.
They should
release the KFC. Listen to me, KFC. I know you're listening. Release the pot pie from December 1st to December 24th, okay? And people will clamor.
Wait, that's a really good idea.
People will clamor to come get your pot pie.
So the KFC pot pie, but there's a reason the KFC pot pie isn't seasonal.
Okay, I know why it is, but tell the people.
The reason the KFC pot pie is not seasonal is because same reason that Wendy's chili can never be seasonal. It's because they're literally using a leftover food product. One, KFC pot pie, freaking delicious.
Dank.
Really, they're punching above their weight class with the pot pie. It's something that has no reason to be that good.
It's underrated.
Absolutely underrated.
It is an underrated menu item.
Yeah, and
phenomenal.
And one of the reasons it's so good is they literally take their leftover chicken at the end of the day. And again, this is all held to certain temperatures and held up to standards. Fast food places have to abide by FDA regulations, probably more strictly than most mom and pop shops because they have a lot more corporate oversight. But they break down the leftover chicken, and then they put it in sacks, and then they mix that sack of chicken with powdered gravy and some cooked vegetables.
I like the way you said mix the sack.
They mix
Say
the
it
sack.
Again.
They mix the sack of the chicken, and then they put a powdered gravy in it, and they put it in a pie crust, and it's
so good.
Freaking delicious. That said, a lot less good on a 110-degree day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, imagine eating a pot pie in your car in the middle of July.
But then what are they doing? Making, like, leftover chicken salad sandwiches the rest of the year? No one wants to buy a chicken salad sandwich from KFC, except I would.
Let me tell you, they need...
Wait, hold on.
Wait, let me tell you about chicken salad sandwiches. They need to be marketed differently. We need to use a different word other than chicken salad sandwich. I don't know what it is.
Deviled chicken bread.
No, devil has a negative
connotation.
You're going
to lose the Christian right. You're
exactly,
going to lose the evangelical
exactly.
right.
We can't do that.
And
they
that's
are
a huge
largest
market
consumer.
For KFC.
Exactly.
That's big. That's
Thank
big.
You. Yeah, I appreciate the input, but no. Shoot it down.
Like a cold chicken gazpacho.
That's a soup.
In ice soup. I know, but it's cold for the summers. What are they doing with the leftover chicken if not put it into a Popeye?
No.
What else could you do?
We got to do it like we got to call it the new chicken melt.
Coxinha de frango. they're going to make artisanal Brazilian dumplings.
We got to call it the new chicken melt from KFC where you take up the shred of chicken and you put a slap of cheese on it and you broil it and then it's hot mayonnaise sandwich but the people love it but they don't know it because it looks like it's cold. You know what I'm talking about?
Why do we not work for KFC?
KFC, hire me.
Also, this podcast is about McDonald's.
Oh, sorry.
This podcast is about,
McDonald's.
But I like the KFC thing
well,
because
that's,
like
well that's the food that I think is should be comparable to the McRib because it should be seasonal.
Yeah,
that food, the McRib shouldn't be seasonal. The KFC pot pie should be seasonal.
We're almost coming at this from I think a less interesting angle than what you just brought up. We're
Are
coming
you
at
calling
this,
me not interesting?
No, the opposite. I said what you I kind of flubbed the words, but I'm saying that what you brought up is more interesting than the original topic because I'm coming at this in the angle of why isn't the McRib available year-round? But you're coming at it from the angle of why don't other fast food companies copy the McRib model?
They should. I feel like they definitely should.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like what places have tried. I mean, Burger King trying to bring back the Yumbo hot ham and cheese.
Not,
but it's not the Yumbo hot ham and cheese. It's literally just sliced wet ham with cheddar cheese or American cheese on one of the long chicken sandwich buns. And it's like, the market for hot ham from a fast food restaurant isn't as big as it used to be.
I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what is a seasonal item that we totally like glazed over?
Huh.
The fish sandwiches that people do for Lent.
Oh.
We didn't even talk about that.
I don't know if that's seasonal, though, because McDonald's has it year-round.
Oh, it's seasonal. We tried to do, I know McDonald's isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
We tried to do a fast food fish episode on GMM, but because these things are like, not available year round. We couldn't do it. They only a lot of these places have it only during Lent. Like Arby's, I believe, only has it during Lent.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think Popeyes might only have it during Lent. I'm not sure.
Popeyes
not sure.
fish sandwich was good. Dude, people who are above fast food fish, you and I are not friends. Because I am a fast food fish fiend. If you get that first order of Popeyes Cajun fried shrimp,
you
gotta go at 11 a.m. to get that fried shrimp.
That's true. That's true.
But I never thought about that with fish sandwiches.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have the same cult appeal. There's still something very cultish about the appeal of the McRib.
Yeah.
And it could just be a time thing, right? It came out in 1981, and a lot of it was on the back of the popularity of the chicken nugget.
Mm-hmm.
First time McDonald's really deviated away from burgers. I know. And then it's the same technology, really. It's restructured meat technology. Mm-hmm. It's blending meats with salt to preserve it and then mashing that into whatever shape you want and then frying it. And so they kind of like figured out the same structure. What's really interesting, though, to me, when the first prototype for the McRib was created, it was just a flat patty and they called it like the pork chop sandwich.
Ew.
And it's actually...
That sounds so icky.
For me, one of the most fascinating parts about this, it sounded icky to other people, and that's why McDonald's changed it.
Sounds like there's bones in it.
But ribs have way more bones than a pork chop.
No. Let me tell you what it is. I'm in the mind of a consumer. What year did this come out?
81.
Okay, it's 1981. I'm listening to, Culture Club. My hair's big, got a lot of makeup on, whatever.
I remember Culture Club is. What's their most popular song? Get me in the mood.
Karma Chameleon. Okay,
Okay.
Okay, and pork chops. Like, my mom makes pork chops, like, for supper with, like, applesauce.
Your
and stuff.
Mom does?
No, like, I'm in 1981.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were, my bad.
Josh, I am in the 19, I am a white 1981 lady, okay? I listen to Culture Club, for Christ's sake. So my mom makes pork chops, okay? Her pork chops are, like, bland, and, like, every time I try to eat it, it's, like, stuck to the bone. It's not pleasant. So that's probably why I wasn't popular. That's why they switched it to the McRib.
The Freudian reason. The McRib wasn't, or the McPork chop wasn't popular because
because your mom
white ladies who listened to Culture Club in 1981 hated their mothers. I think that's a stretch, but I also understand where you're coming from, and I think that's probably true.
Yeah, man.
But no, I was saying how it was the National Pork Council who actually was trying to offload more pork that sort of came up with this idea. It wasn't McDonald's directly. I mean, Rene Arend was, I believe, the inventor of the chicken nugget and like one of the first executives of McDonald's, and also sort of crediting with implementing the McRib. But it was actually the National Pork Council who was like, yo, we need more pork in the fast food industry, because there was like damn near nothing, right? And that it was all burgers. You know, you had Taco Bell was like really on the up and up, but no one was really doing a pork, you know, item like that. And so they tried to introduce this pork chop sandwich, and then McDonald's is like, it don't look appealing. It's just a crappy pork burger. And they're like, but what if we shaped it like ribs? Because ribs makes people think of summer and seasonal times and whatnot. And then it was one of the biggest flops that McDonald's had ever produced in 81. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and they introduced it in Kansas City, and they were like, we want this to mimic real Southern barbecue, and it didn't work.
That's so embarrassing.
I know, right?
Wow, that wasn't well thought out.
No, it certainly, yeah,
sucks.
Really. But then they, you know, pulled it back and they started introducing it seasonally, and then it just developed this cult following over time.
That's incredible. I mean, talk about a, what's it called when the story's sad and then it gets really good again? What's that called?
I don't know. Is there a word for that?
I don't know. I feel like there's like some sort of like
roller coaster of emotions. I'm trapped in a gas case of emotion, Nicole.
I was going to say rags to riches, but it's like, what an upset. Like,
yeah,
you know?
It's like a riches to slight disappointment back to riches story. You know, just like McDonald's.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassing. Well, yeah, this was a really interesting conversation, Josh. Oh, I gotta
are you
say.
Ending it?
I mean, we got 5 minutes left.
I have more
left
to say.
You do?
I have more things to say.
You have so many things to say all the time.
What if you right now were, say, Taco Bell, and you wanted to introduce your cult classic item that you can bring back seasonally? What do you think it would take? Because they've tried to do
it.
No one puts out more crazy experimental stuff than Taco Bell.
Am
right?
I a marketing
but nothing
executive
sticks.
Right now?
Yeah, you're a marketing executive.
And am I supposed to create a new idea?
Create a new item right now.
Right on the spot?
Taco Bell. Because I would love a McRib from Taco Bell. I would love a reason to get jacked up seasonally about Taco Bell.
Oh my God. I would do something with Takis, man. I would do collabs. I would do Takis and chicken. I would do Taki chicken.
But like, for instance, I think a great seasonal menu item for them would have been the Naked Chicken Chalupa. If they put that into Coke,
because
that's a good item. They make a giant chicken nugget that's shaped in a U.
I don't like that.
And they bread it like a nugget, and then they fill it with taco ingredients.
That's just chicken parmesan, man. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's great, dude. Chicken parmesan with a bunch of ranch in the middle.
It's a
hand parm.
It's a hand parm.
They can start doing crossover collabs with Olive Garden and stuff.
Why don't we just do a hand parm? You're giving out our content ideas, Josh.
Hand parm's a good idea. Or chicken fried steak taco. Make that nugget out of beef. Make a beef nugget. Fill it with more beef.
Ooh. They should do something like fried carne asada.
Taco Bell has never gotten into the pork game. They need to get into the pork game. Del Taco had carnitas.
Mm-hmm. Were they good?
It was perfectly fine wet pork.
Okay.
Just as good as Chipotle's perfectly fine wet pork. Mm-hmm. It was great, but Taco Bell's like never really touched that. And so I think anyone.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because they don't need to, right? That like a lot of these questions for, you know, why is the McRib seasonal is just because like it doesn't make sense to have it around. It would not benefit McDonald's. There's no big conspiracy to it. It's just artificial scarcity creating demand. Also, probably not a big part of their business model, right? They're like Q2 to Q3 sales after McRib season like don't actually increase very much.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing right now that is helping McDonald's are these friggin' celebrity collabs that are, they blew the door open to figure out what people want, and
that's
a K-pop star's face on a packet of sugar sauce.
That's crazy.
That means literally nothing to the K-pop star.
It
means
incredible.
Everything to you. Global sales rose like 40% the week of that collab.
That is genius.
Unfreaking real. That's
way to
go. The BTS collab that McDonald's did was the smartest thing. And I think that's going to cause like a paradigm shift.
For sure.
In all of fast food. And I just want to know, I know I'm not like nearly famous enough to get like a big fast food collab, but I'm wondering if there's like a local, like the Habit Burger. I feel like I'm the Habit Burger famous.
I think you should be the new face of the McRib.
Yeah?
I do.
You think, like, they should make a McRib that's the shape of my face?
No, no, no. I mean, like, you should, like, there should be a McRib
Wait,
meal.
I think we should do that.
No, I think it should be a McRib meal, and it's just your face, and it's like, it's a McRib with some French fries and a Diet Sprite.
But you gotta eat it in your car. That's the Josh twist. That's the...
Yeah. The AC's gotta be a cool 68.
You gotta get extra ice in the Diet Coke and then eat in your car and then loop around to ask for a refill from the drive-thru, and they go, sir, that's kind of weird. And you go, please, I know it's free refills. Please just do it. Please, I need it. I need it. And that's the Josh McRib meal. Go to your local McDonald's and ask them for the Josh meal, and they'll go, what? And you go, please give it to me. I need it. Come on, man. I just need it.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to, like, skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole.
Nicole, you started. You started. Kick it off. Kick it off with one of those wacky opinions from the Twitterverse.
I'd love to. Okay. Mohawk Key says SpaghettiOs have nothing to do with spaghetti. I disagree. I think they have so much to do with spaghetti, almost too much to do with spaghetti.
You think they should be more divorced from their spaghettihood?
Me? No.
You think they have too much to do with spaghetti?
No, not me, Mohawk Key.
What? No, he just said they have nothing to do with spaghetti.
I'm saying they have everything
they
to
have
do.
Everything to do with spaghetti.
It's they a, have everything to do with spaghetti.
I see what they're saying, the fact
no,
that...
No.
Okay, the O's are a pasta shape that is not spaghetti.
Okay, but if you cut it...
Yeah, you cut it and form
spaghetti.
It into an O. I can see both the sides... of our friend Mohawk Key here, as well as the Franco-American brand that produces SpaghettiOs. I see both sides. Because the O's, the little rings, that's already a pasta shape that exists. I can't remember the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then spaghetti is a pasta shape that exists. However, to Franco-American's credit, if you were to turn spaghetti into an O, it would look like SpaghettiOs.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It says SpaghettiOs. Like, it is spaghetti that is shaped in an O.
And I will say that there are canned spaghetti brands out there.
Yeah, they're good.
It's yeah, pretty horrifying.
Yeah. Too. SpaghettiOs aren't that good either, though.
But it at least when you divorce it from spaghetti and make it like a new product, it's better than just... Because you're eating the spaghetti and meatballs from a can, you're like, I'm judging this against normal spaghetti, which takes about 12 minutes to make.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
You know? But SpaghettiOs, there's no real-life conduit that you're being like, oh, this tastes nothing like what the SpaghettiOs my grandma made were.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's why I respect it. That said, beefaroni, best pasta in a can. All right, at Ali_Skoda... That's how I'm choosing to pronounce it. Milkshake and fries are bomb. Yes, but fries and Frosties are better. And a Frosty, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm willing to call it a milkshake. Maybe it is.
Onion rings and Sprite.
Oh, Jesus, no. Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. I agree with you, Ali.
But don't you dip chicken nuggets in milkshakes?
Sometimes.
That's weird to me.
I mean,
fries make sense.
Kim Kardashian has honey with her chicken nuggets, and everyone loves her for it.
Yeah, that's delicious. I used to dip chicken nuggets in straight honey, and that is an absolute treat. It took me a while to come around to the fries and milkshakes thing because I just love ketchup so much and want to eat French fries. I really just want the ketchup to be like the French fries are a vessel for ketchup
in
my body.
Sure.
But that said, the occasional fry dipped in a Frosty, the hot and the cold, it's a pretty nice treat.
It is pretty good.
It's like chocolate dip pretzels, and that's something that me
What's
and Julia.
What's a chocolate dip pretzel? What?
What?
Never had
you
one.
You never had a pretzel covered in chocolate?
No.
You sound like you've never heard of it.
I mean, like, you
what the hell?
Explain the chocolate.
You take a pretzel, like a crunchy
Why is
snack.
So mean right now?
Because we've like eaten these together in the kitchen. Flips. The brand is called Flips. What the hell are you talking about?
No.
Did you have like temporary amnesia? Do you have a mini stroke?
No, let me tell you exactly what happened. You said hot and cold, like chocolate covered pretzels. And I was like, you're taking a hot pretzel and dipping it in chocolate? That's cold. That makes no sense, Josh.
Okay, I see where you're coming.
Hater.
I was just trying to say salty sweet. I had ADHD flipped course on a salty sweet things that I enjoy.
So you took hot and cold and you said salty and sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's your fault.
Yeah.
Say sorry right now.
That said, no, hold on. We may have. I'm not apologizing for squat. But I will say that I think we should just start taking soft pretzels and cover them in chocolate. That's a delight.
I think that's what we learned. I think that's what we learned.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about the other day? Pretzels taste, they're kind of freaking gross, dude.
No, they're like crunchy. Okay, you have to be specific when you talk about pretzels. Do you mean soft
pretzels? I was eating a hard Snyder's of Hanover pretzel, which I like really enjoy.
Ew.
I say they're gross, but I enjoy them.
I don't like them. You need to get the Snyder's of Hanover, the pieces of pretzels.
Honey mustard.
Honey mustard onion.
Bro.
Oh my God.
My mouth started watering thinking about it. There's so much powder. There's so much powder on it, and I love it. But that said, a pretzel flavor is weird because it's just like, it's lye, right?
Yeah, I don't really enjoy it.
It just tastes like kind of eggs a little bit. It's
a
like we made
eggy.
We took delicious bread and now it tastes like burnt eggs.
A little.
That's
I get
a little
that.
Weird. It's a little weird that we do that. Again, no, I love that. It. I love chocolate covered pretzels. Been getting those, stocking them at home because Julia enjoys them and I'm supportive.
All right. Kayla _ Gabler says cereal plus milk in an almost empty peanut butter jar equals a decadent dessert. The amount of times that I've taken a spoonful of PB.
Preach.
And put it with my cereal. It is insane. Uh-huh. Now, this is very smart, but the thing is, you can only do this once.
And that's fine. It's seasonal.
That's fine.
If we learn anything today, it's that a seasonal item, and that is the end of the peanut butter jar season, is a delight. And this is almost the smartest thing I've ever heard.
Really smart. I do this, but instead of cereal and milk and peanut butter, I use an empty Nutella jar, and then I put my Nespresso in there,
that's
and then
smart.
My milk, and then I shake it, and then I have a Nutella mocha.
I would love to just take a – here's what I do, and this is gross. I would take that mostly empty peanut butter jar,
uh-huh.
and I would heat some milk so it disperses the peanut butter.
Uh-huh.
I'd add 2 packets of Splenda. I'd shake that, pop it in the fridge overnight, and then pour that on ice, and I just have delicious peanut butter milk. Because here's the thing.
That's
people love chocolate milk,
that's
right? And the Splenda, you know, just cut out a little bit of carbs, you know, try and be body positive. But
I hate Splenda. I hate the flavor of
fake
sugar.
Nah, dude, I just racked like 4 packs of Splenda this morning in my 7-Eleven coffee.
Racked?
Just racked it. I made up a new verb. I don't know what it means.
Oh, I think what you did was you lined it up and you shook it. And you shook it, and then you ripped
it
all
four
at the same time.
Yeah, correct. Yeah you see
racked.
Me do that?
No, I just know.
Oh, yeah, that's the verb racket. That's how you do. You rack Splendas.
Okay, we have made a new word. Do you know that?
We have made a new word. Good news. Everyone start using racked.
Yeah.
Or if like you rack Go-Gurts, it's when you stack 4 of them together, cut them open with scissors, and then just hammer them into your mouth.
Well, we made
Let's go
a new...
rack some Go-Gurts, Nicole.
Is this a verb?
Yeah, to rack
we
the hell
new...
out of some Go-Gurts.
We made a new verb. Way to go, Josh.
Like if someone's like, do you like, hey, put a packet of Swiss Miss in there. You're like, well, you want me to rack it? Like, you want me to like,
yeah,
a
Josh,
yeah,
we made
it.
Don't worry about it. We're going to put it into, what is it? What is it? Oxford? Merriam-Webster?
Rack some Crystal Lights up in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rack some Crystal Light in that jungle juice.
Yeah, such a smart idea.
Yeah, calorie free.
Yep. Okay, next. Read it.
At Thor Fairy, salty licorice. Hold on. I'm already distracted by the name because when they said salty licorice and their name is Thor Fairy, fairies and Thor both Scandinavian cultural thing, so it's salty licorice, so they're biased. This is a cultural bias. Salty licorice covered in milk chocolate. No, hold on. I'm going to keep going
on
this.
Funny.
I'm not even going to read it. You ever have like someone, you ever have Swedish friends?
No, never have I ever had a friend from Sweden.
Tons of Swedish friends, mostly track and field athletes from college.
Nice.
UCLA loved recruiting from Sweden. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Ida Storm, Caroline Hielenbern, Marcus. What was Marcus's last name? Decathlete. Anyways, point is, had a lot of Swedish friends, and they'd always come back and be like, oh, Sweden has the best candy. And then they would give me the candy, and I'd just eat it and be like, oh, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's salted eucalyptus. It's like, why? Why is it salted eucalyptus? Sweden does have really great candy, but there's a lot of things that are uniquely, for their palate.
Yes, I think the salt is interesting. I like salted candies.
It's a fun. Have you had this like Norwegian salty licorice or whatever?
I don't think so.
It's a trip, dude. Covered milk chocolate is the bomb, and you will never take it away from me. Thor Fairy, I couldn't take it away from you if I tried. You're probably 6'3" and grew up pole vaulting. and so I don't think I'd try and take it from you. Also, yeah, Scando candies are they're a trip sometimes.
Scando candies?
Scando candies, wow. Dude. Bro, Scandies? You don't need Scandies? I guess if you gave...
Scandies?
You know what's a weird American candy, though? The A&W root beer barrels?
Oh, yum.
I love those, too.
Yum.
If you probably, if you gave those to a Scandinavian used to salted eucalyptus chews or whatever, mm-hmm. they'd probably be like, oh, this is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. So cultural differences abound.
Okay. Charlene 15 says gingerbread cookies are the best cookie. How do you feel about
Hell
that?
Hell yes. I don't know about gingerbread specifically. Ginger snaps.
Hey, gingerbread
you
men.
You hate gingerbread?
Gingerbread men can literally go die in a fire. I hate gingerbread men.
I call them gingerbread people. You need to ungender gingerbread
You're
men.
You're right. Gingerbread
Way to
people.
Be stuck in 2017. Joshy. She's crap.
Josh, you're right.
Ginger snap cookies are my favorite.
I like
and seasonal items.
I like ginger snap.
Speaking of seasonal items, Tate's has a friggin' delicious like cinnamon ginger spice cookie out right now. And I've been enjoying those
Good
along
for you.
With my Pepperidge Farm pirouettes late at night. We're a snack household now.
I can tell.
And I've never been that type of person, but I got my chocolate covered pretzels, I got my pirouettes, I got my Tate's cookies.
Where do you get them from?
CVS.
You get a Costco card, babe.
Nope, CVS. Costco got a line. You know where there's no line for snacks? The CVS. People are in there buying
You're
razors.
Wasting so much money.
Go in there, I get my NyQuil,
I get my chocolate
covered pretzels.
What do you need NyQuil for?
What?
To sleep?
No, I just have. Like, you're out of NyQuil. I get my women's safety razors because they give you the same shape as men, but I'm paying a little bit more for them to support women. And I get
what?
And they sell the frozen kind bars
you
that I enjoy.
You need to get a Costco card and stop spending frivolously.
What do you mean? No, Costco cards are the frivolous spend.
No, they're not.
It's like 40% of food in households goes to waste, and it's because of places like Costo that are like, oh, do I need 9 pounds of goat cheese?
Not if you buy non-perishables, honey.
Costco, you hardly save any freaking money at Costco. Don't go to Costco. I mean, I love Costco. I
love
go there for
Costco.
The hot dogs. I go there for the hot dogs. Love me a Costco hot dog. $1.50 for the drink.
Why is
this
the weirdest opinions on casseroles you've ever had?
This one's good. @kale_chips. Why is beef jerky so expensive? I don't get it. I don't have time to like explain how expensive it is to raise and slaughter a cow under looming threat of like catastrophic climate change. It was pretty friggin' hard, Kale.
Can I tell you
it's
something?
Pretty friggin' hard. It should be expensive.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
We have so much beef jerky in the kitchen right now. Like so
We're rich and we're cash poor. We're jerky rich.
Let me tell you. Every time I eat beef jerky, it hurts my gums.
Yeah, it's a little too hard for my soft teeth.
It hurts. It makes my gums feel like salted.
Yeah, well, there's a new trend in jerky, and that's to make it wetter and softer.
Yeah. Oh, like Crave?
Yeah, like Crave. Crave is, if you talked, I was drunk with some jerky maker. Shout out to the dudes from Righteous Felon Jerky.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, stupidly, I was like, hey, I kind of like Crave jerky. And they're like, Crave ruined the jerky industry. But not really.
I love Crave.
I'm editorializing a little bit. I love Crave, too, but they were like part of the jerky craft is literally just making it as dry as possible because that's the preservation method, right? It's the
yeah,
whole point of beef jerky.
But it's the new age. We can still have it preserved but have a nice mouthfeel. You
Straight
know what
up.
I mean? Why not?
And you got that wet sugar jerky from Crave that is, even their turkey jerky, they got like
Everything
maple
got
chipotle. God
Everything
dang.
Everything they do is
So
good.
Is Righteous Felon, though. They make a great jerky.
Never had it, but I'm sure it's delicious.
Yeah, they rule. And it's so dry. It's lovely. They got some dry, spicy ones, and I like that. But yeah, beef jerky is expensive as hell because also the weight of it, it's minus water, right? You buy beef that's, say, $10 a pound. Jerky, that same amount of beef is probably going to yield, say, like 3 ounces, you know, because of all the lack of water weight.
I wouldn't say that's a direct calculation.
No, it's probably real wrong. But, like, point is, it's going to you know, weigh a lot less. Therefore, you're paying more.
Yeah. Oh, Jerkito, says bananas and savory dishes are great. Also, eating fruit with rice and a bit of vinegar and salt is pretty good. Yeah, I think fruit and savory dishes is delicious. I love apricots in my chicken.
I wonder where they're from. Jerkito, hit us up. Tell us where you're from. Because, bananas and savory dishes, I'm all for. I mean, I love eating, like, platanos, you know.
I love platanos. Take the platanos from everyone's dishes whenever you guys
Yeah,
eat.
You totally do. You totally
it's
do.
It's good.
And then, yeah, this, like, fruit, vinegar, rice, salt, that just sounds, like, really good. I mean, it kind of reminds me of having, like umeboshi, right?
Sure.
With rice, where
umeboshi is sour plum.
Yeah, it's a salted, sour, dried
plum.
Japanese plum paste.
Yeah.
And it is a delight on like a rice ball.
It's really good.
Oof.
Onigiri.
And so that is, the grilled rice ball? Is it yaki onigiri?
I think so.
Onigiri yaki? Yeah. That is a delight. You take that, you get a little char on the rice.
Yeah.
Yaki onigiri.
I don't think I've had
girl.
Yaki onigiri for a long time.
Yo, you can just tell we're like when we record this when we're like mad hungry.
I'm kind of hungry.
I'm so hungry. I would kill for a Yaki Onigiri right now. Maggie, let's order it.
Maggie!
Where can we get it? Where can we get it? All right. At Christina.Bryden, frozen yogurt is not comparable to ice cream. It's not the same at all.
I get it, but just like have a little bit of imagination.
I agree.
I love Froyo. I actually, if I could be any sort of like franchisor, I would buy a yogurt land.
I don't know that they're like that successful these days.
Okay, what do you think
same store sale growth in Yogurtland is year over year?
I don't freaking know.
Nicole, this is what you got to know if you're going to be a Yogurtland franchisee, okay? If you're going to join the Yogurtland family.
I'm sorry.
You got to understand.
I'm sorry.
The ube extract prices due to hyperinflation?
It won't happen again.
You got to know. No. Yeah, I think you and I share a love for frozen yogurt.
So if you could go to Yogurtland right now, what would you get?
Oh my god, I always get three flavors, I typically don't go fruity. I typically keep it sweet.
Me too.
One of them's always ube.
Me too.
One of them's likely going to be like a coconut situation got, and then one's going to be something a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
If they have like a caramel macchiato, I'll get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then toppings, I keep it pretty simple. I go a whole lot of mochi on there. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'll do toasted coconut if the mood strikes,
uh-huh.
and then maybe a nut, maybe an almond, maybe not, and then I'll hit it with a couple sauces.
Great.
You know, the marshmallow fluff, condensed milk.
Okay. We are like kind of similar, but not really. I always get ube. I always get cheesecake. And then I also get a green tea if it's there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So those are my three flavors. I always get three flavors.
Same.
Now, my toppings vary. I typically do blackberries with a nice white chocolate chip, mochi.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I put like five mochi, eat three of the mochi.
Yeah,
before I
correct.
Pay for
same
it.
Here. I'll do that with a circus animal cookie too.
Oh my god!
Animal cookie on. I weigh it. I pay for it, and I eat it off the top.
And then I put all of the circus animal cookies, but only the white ones because the pink ones leach their color, and I don't like that.
We would do so well at sharing a yogurt.
Okay,
order.
Let me finish. Hold on, and then I would also do condensed milk and marshmallow fluff.
Yeah, we're the same person.
Yeah,
we have the same tastes and wants and desires out of
yes,
life. You know,
really
all we
good.
Do is just want to be a good mother. You know, to our non-existent children.
But like ice cream, you can't do. I don't like toppings on my ice cream, but I love toppings on my froyo.
Oh, fair. So you admit they are different.
Yes.
Fair.
But also good. Like it's okay. It's okay.
We're gonna wrap up soon,
okay.
But we gotta read this next one because
okay,
this is just brutality. At Irene Wolfolk, Honeycrisp apples and hummus.
I don't see like a horrible problem with that.
Damn, I don't know. I've never thought of doing this, which is shocking. Because I think of a lot of I have sick thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm a man with sick thoughts, ashamed of them, and I've never thought to dip apples in hummus. But I guess it shocked me at first, but why wouldn't it work?
Imagine like a cheese board.
Yeah.
Okay. And like hummus is in the center. You got some gross pretzels, carrot, celery, a few like fig and olive crackers, and a Honeycrisp. Like apple, you're probably going to dip it in the hummus because you're going to dip everything else in the hummus, right?
I guess so. I'm trying to think. I mean, I love like cucumbers and hummus. I love radish and hummus. Like jicama and hummus is nice.
I never had that.
I bought a damn jicama and I was like, why'd I buy it?
You bought a whole jicama?
It's like a 3-pound just rock.
Apple.
Yeah, it sucks. And I'm burdened with it now. And so I've been slicing it up and just eating it like crudité.
Ooh, you should do jicama
But that's
tacos.
Like pretty fruity. Eh, I don't know. I don't have a mandolin big enough to slice it, but but no, this is really inventive. Again, shocked me, which is great. I just want to feel something, good or bad, don't care. Just want to feel again. And I really want to try this now, especially Honeycrisp apples, best apple in the game.
I like them. Yeah, they're good.
And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef. Or and Handizada with hashtag opinion casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
See y'all next time.